Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study together God's Word. I hope you can come on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30. Thank you to all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, that's City Church Ministries, CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. I'll share that again at the end of the broadcast. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson, developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the precious gift of the Spirit made possible because of the precious gift of your Son to die on Calvary's cross and 3 days be raised from the dead and be raised up and seated at the right hand of the Father, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, to be poured out upon all those that believe and put their confidence in you. And as we celebrate this Easter Sunday, we celebrate you, Lord. We celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit and the life that you have given to every man and woman that puts their faith and confidence in you and all the graces that accompany the Holy Spirit in our lives. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We ask you to help us now as we study the Word together, as we think about the Holy Spirit and His coming after the resurrection and the enthronement of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you the glory. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Easter celebrates, what we call Easter. That's a pagan holiday, a Roman pagan holiday, but the resurrection happened to fall on that holiday, so we have a tendency to call it Easter. And we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And 40 days later, he ascended and was seated at the right hand of the Father. And then in 10 days, he poured out the Spirit of the Lord that was promised to him by the Father, the promise the Father made, and all the disciples in the upper room were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then that overflowed into the streets. And so many that heard the gospel and believed on the day of Pentecost came into the kingdom on that day, were born again and received the Spirit, and they were anointed with gifts of God in their lives. We're going to talk more about that, as we have been sharing already. But I just wanted to tie those two things together, since it's Easter Celebration Sunday. As we celebrate the resurrection, we need to consider the resurrection as not just Jesus being raised from the dead, but also being enthroned at the right hand of the Father and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit from his Father to be poured out upon all that would believe and put their faith in him. And he's still pouring out his Spirit today. Amen. And so because of this and the resurrection, we celebrate the fact that Christ rules from heaven above. He is seated on his throne. The Bible says that Jesus tells us that the prince of this world has been judged, that Jesus is Lord. He is ruling in the heavens. And sometimes in the natural, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but in our natural mind, some of these things are hard to reason. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us. So 2,000 years later, Jesus is still ruling, and God is still directing his plans on the earth to fulfill his eternal purpose, which is to fill the earth with the glory of God, that Jesus' name would be named everywhere, that every knee would bow, that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And so we want to keep that in mind as we study today. And we're going to be talking about the work of the Spirit. and we're going to be seeing the Holy Spirit is at work distributing his gifts. We're going to talk about that in a little bit here. But I want to mention this first, that as the Spirit was poured out on those that believed, and you can read about it in Acts chapter 2, God fulfilled his word to those disciples in Acts chapter 1 when they wanted to know, now, Lord, are you going to establish the kingdom back to Israel? And they knew that that Israel had been under slavery to Rome and to other nations. And so they were curious. Now is the time, is this the time that the kingdom of God is going to be established? And Jesus tells his disciples there that that's not what he's concerned about, and that they shouldn't be concerned about that either. But what they should be concerned about is what the Father promised. And so he told them to go wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high, when the Holy Spirit came. Paul tells us later in Romans 14:17 that the kingdom of God is not natural, is not made up of food and eating and drinking, but it's in the Holy Spirit. And the kingdom of God is filled with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the result of the Spirit of God coming into our lives. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You can't find it outside the Spirit. It's in the Spirit. And that's why we wrote this devotional to draw us closer to that work of the Holy Spirit. So today, we're considering the Holy Spirit is at work distributing his gifts. We've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit for a few weeks. And as I said, we've spent a number of days in our devotion considering the work of the Holy Spirit. We have especially considered his work as it relates to the gifts he gives in the body of Christ. Paul wrote this, wrote that the one Spirit works everything according to what he wills. As believers, it is not necessary to strive over the gifts the Holy Spirit distributes. We must learn how to rest in his provisions. As our relationship with the Holy Spirit matures, we will become more available for him to work through us for the sake of others. Remember that it's for the sake of others that he works through us. A considerable challenge for a believer is to traverse the relationship between the spirit and soul. That's what those apostles were doing in Acts chapter 1. Chapter 1, when they were asking Jesus, now, Lord, are you going to return the kingdom to Israel? Jesus, the Father, actually had a much bigger plan than just Israel. His plan was every believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit and be operating in the power of Jesus Christ. That was the plan of God, including Jew and Gentile. And we're going to talk about that later on. And my new book, One New Man, One Holy Spirit, really centers on that. And that's going to be released very soon, sometime this month, and we'll let you know about that when it's released. It brings some clarity to that whole area. So it's a challenge for us believers to traverse this relationship between our spirit and the soul. The spirit of a person is drawn to the mystical side. This embraces areas outside the natural realm and focuses on the unseen realm. Paul calls this spiritual and not natural. At the same time, it's important that we do not throw out our reasoning out the door. A key is to consistently bring our natural thought processes to the Holy Spirit and invite him to affect how we reason. This means that we need to study the Word of God, because the Spirit brings to us his Word, and it's the Word that transforms our thinking, our reasoning. The Word of God reveals God's viewpoints. The Spirit of God will help affect our reasoning through his Word. At the same time, be bold to ask the Holy Spirit to allow his supernatural gifts to be given to you as he wills. I have prayed for 40 years, more than that now. But when I wrote this down, I had prayed for 40 years, Lord, give me heaven's point of view. and help me see things from your perspective. I have asked many times for the Holy Spirit to help me by giving me an operation of his gifts. He has been so faithful to help, just in everyday life and also in the work of the ministry. I give all the praise and all the glory to the Lord, because I could not do the work of the ministry without the Holy Spirit. It's very difficult to live this life without the Holy Spirit. And people that try to live it just simply out of the natural find themselves constantly getting in trouble. That's why our counseling rooms are so filled with people seeking help, where the helper has come. The helper is the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, when the helper comes, he will show you all things. Amen. He came. He came on the day of Pentecost because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his enthronement. So right now, let's just pray together. Father, I surrender my natural mind to the Holy Spirit. I ask you to open my understanding of your word and freely distribute your gifts through my life as you choose. Holy Spirit, we depend upon you. I give you a complete control of my life. I pray that I may be a faithful steward of what you entrust to me. Now that's a solid prayer, beloved. I give that to you today to think about praying yourself right now and every day. I surrender my natural mind to the Holy Spirit. I ask you to open my understanding to your word and freely distribute your gifts through my life as you choose. Holy Spirit, I give you complete control of my life. I pray that I may be a faithful steward of what you entrust to me. Oh, that's a whole nother subject, stewardship. We are called to steward what God gives to us. We are responsible for the things that God gives to us, that he entrusts to us. Amen. Now, let's understand, again, back to Corinthians 12:12-13, the Lord's one body has many members. Even as the body is one and yet has many members, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. We were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now listen, beloved, I know that all over my city here, your city of San Diego, there are hundreds and hundreds of churches today gathering, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, or have gathered and celebrated the resurrection. And we all have identities with maybe a particular persuasion of denominationalism. But I want to say to you, the Bible is clear. From God's point of view, even as the body is one, we are not many. We are not many bodies. We are one body. And yet as many members, we're many members, there's many different people. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. If you're in the body of Christ, I don't care which church you go to, if you're in the body of Christ, you're there because the Holy Spirit baptized you into the body. We were all made to drink of one Spirit. We're all drinking from the Lord. If we're seeking his face, if we're coming to his word, and depending upon him, we're all drinking of the same place, at the same place. Please, please, please get this through your understanding. When you go to your service, there are many, many people gathering all over the city. We can't all get into the same place. But there's only one body, and there's only one Spirit that's been given by the Lord. There's not however many denominations there are, there's not that many spirits. There's only one Holy Spirit. There are many types of spirits, but there's only one Holy Spirit. Okay? The Lord, the enemy has sought to divide us and take this away from us, but it's in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace that we have our great success in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I could go on from there. The Apostle Paul uses the illustration of the human body to illustrate Christ's spiritual body. The human body is one, but it has many members. Paul is saying that by one Spirit we have all been baptized into Christ's body. He expands this thought by mentioning Jews, Greeks, slaves, and freemen, those who weren't in bondage to Rome. Every person at that time, every person that has put his or her trust in Christ is drinking of the one Holy Spirit. Our unity is not by all having the same understanding, nor is it in our form of worship, but in the fact that we are all drinking of the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the unifying factor in the body. You weren't born again by anything other than the Holy Spirit. I don't care whether you're Baptist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Methodist, it doesn't matter. If you were born again, it was by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that caused me to be born again has caused you to be born again as well, if indeed you are. I trust you are. And by the same Spirit, we have been placed in the same body, the body of Christ. Oh, how important this is to get our head around it and our understanding become spiritual in this area. Our unity is not by all having the same understanding. It's not getting all our doctrines lined up perfect, exactly the same, nor is it in our form of worship. There's different forms of worship that took place today in the different services around the San Diego area and throughout the world as far as that goes. But in fact, that we all are drinking from the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the unifying factor in the body of Christ. Forgive me for repeating myself, but this is so important. It's worth repeating. All right. Are you drinking of the one Spirit the Father and the Son have given? He is the Spirit of the Father, and He is the Spirit of the Son. The Godhead remains a mystery because we are speaking of God. We all know an experience of God is through the Holy Spirit. In Corinthians, Paul spoke of the water that flowed from the rock in the wilderness. He called it a spiritual drink, which was Christ. Paul taught that our spiritual drink is the Holy Spirit through Christ our rock. The Holy Spirit ministers all that Christ has provided for us. Drink deeply of the spiritual water that you have been given. And receive all the Holy Spirit has for you. Remember, it is spiritual, but it becomes manifested in tangible ways. I hope we can understand that, or maybe you've already experienced that in a powerful way. The gift of the Holy Spirit chooses to release it all, but it all comes from Him. And He gives to each one severally as He will, especially in the meeting. Not everybody speaks in tongues in a meeting, and maybe in some churches nobody's speaking in tongues because they don't teach it, but they could. But not everybody does. Not everybody prophesies. Not everybody lays hands on the sick. Not everybody interprets. Not everybody has a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. But it's all available. But God in the corporate gathering chooses to release the gifts through individuals. That's His appointment. But when you're out in the field, when you're not in a church service, when you're at work, when you're in the neighborhood, maybe in a family gathering, God might just use you to bring healing to somebody that's sick. God might just use you to share the gospel and lead somebody to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God might just give you a word of knowledge about somebody to help you in leading them to Christ, to know the love of God. God might just give you a word of wisdom or a discernment of spirits as we look at the nine gifts we've talked about in the past several weeks. I just want you to be available to God. That's what God wants. He wants availability so that He can just come and use you whenever He wants to. So I hope this point is made clear. Now, today, beloved, especially on this Resurrection Sunday, as we receive of what the Lord has done and give thanksgiving, drink of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus, by His sacrifice, has made it possible for us to receive all that the Holy Spirit gives. Receive your portion today is my encouragement. And throughout this week, you might meditate on this. Let's talk about one more thing. And that's 1 Corinthians 12:31. As you get to the end of that chapter, earnestly desire the greater gifts, and yet I show you still a more excellent way. Look at that. Paul is encouraging us to seek after the best gifts. All of these gifts are wonderful, But there are gifts that exceed other gifts. The gift of wisdom. Everybody needs to have a word of wisdom from time to time. What a tremendous gift. Or the word of knowledge, having insight, the word of discernment, or the gifts of healing to be distributed to help people get through sickness and disease and all the different areas that we talked about that healing can need to take place in a human life. Anybody can get a word of encouragement, of exhortation, comfort. It says all may prophesy, that all may learn, that all may be edified. Isn't that wonderful? The promises of God, the Bible says, are yes and amen. There's no no in there. They're yes and amen to the glory of God. Now, all that God has done for us comes from this attribute of love. For God is love. Any gift he permits to imparts to a believer comes from a motivation of his love. He expects his children to be operating with the same motivation as his. Desire for spiritual gifts is good and proper. The question becomes, what is our motivation? For some, it may be a need to feel accepted by God. For others, it may be the need for attention. And for others, perhaps a sense of power. Our motivations must be measured up against the love of God. This is the more perfect way, Paul says. And that's what we're talking about. He says, I'm going to show you still a more excellent way. We're to be a people that walk in the love of God. The Apostle Paul spent a great deal of time addressing the use of spiritual gifts. The subject is not a small one, nor should it be quickly glossed over. He bridges the believer's instructions in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 with the chapter 13. This chapter is known as the love chapter. We must be careful not to make the mistake that so many have made, setting the subject of love against the gifts of the Spirit. It's not that the gifts are more important or less important. It's that love is the motivation of the gifts. God gave his only begotten Son this great gift, motivated by his love for humanity, for his creation man. And so the gifts of the Spirit, or thinking that love is superior to the gifts, thus dismissing the need for these gifts. That view completely misses Paul's point of writing these chapters. The gifts are an important part of our relationship to Christ. They are also our resource to more effectively share the good news of the kingdom when our motivation is born out of love. The gifts become what God intended, conduits of his love. The same Holy Spirit who imparts his gifts to believers is the one who supplies the love of God through every believer. And so as we close today, let's allow the Holy Spirit to examine our heart. Ask the Lord to reveal your true motivation. Excuse me, I'll take a drink of water there. Ask the Holy Spirit to make your motivation pure. Ask for his supply of grace to move you into greater degrees of his love for others. Amen? I hope you grasp this. And we're going to move into talking this in more details as we go through the rest of our developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk next week about having gifts that differ. And Romans 12:6 deals with that. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. The gifts are a gift from God, which is what grace is talking about. Unmerited favor, I didn't deserve the gifts. I didn't do anything to earn the gifts. The gifts of God come because of God's great love for us and for others. He wants to use us to touch other people. Let's keep that in the forefront of our mind this week as we walk through the week as we meditate upon these principles of truth. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for giving us another opportunity to break the Word of God open and begin to talk about your great love. We are just so grateful for all that you have done for us. And so we bow before you, Father, and we ask you to come and let this lesson be developing in our hearts and through our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, we trust you in all these things in Jesus' precious name. Now, thank you again for joining us today. Have a great Easter day and a great Easter week, thinking about the resurrection of Jesus and all that he's provided. Now, if you would like a copy of any of my books, go to our website, www.sdccm.org/shop. The order form is there. Your contribution helps us with the broadcast time. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Again, thank you, and remember, walk with the King. Amen.